1 Kings chapter 2, verse 18. And Bathsheba said, "Well, I will speak to the king, speak for thee unto the king." And Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Brother Lewis, if you would this morning, pray for us. Amen. Well, I'm glad to see all you mothers here this morning. This is your special day. Every day ought to be a special day for mothers, but this is the one we've set nationally to give honor to our mothers. And I think that's fitting and appropriate. If anybody is deserving of some special attention and special honor, it's certainly the mothers of the world. You can't get here without one, you know. They're absolutely requisite for life. I was hoping to have a couple other young mothers here this morning, but they didn't show up. But I'm glad you're here. Now, nobody could ever say all the things probably necessary to say about mothers. Every mother is a unique individual, and she has unique circumstances, and her life and her method of mothering and the things that she'll have to do as a mother will never be duplicated by anybody else. Mothers are kind of like fingerprints. They're all different. Some do a much better job than others. But we're not here to cast stones on bad mothers today. We are here today to honor the good mothers. And it's amazing what all has been said about mothers down through the years and by various and sundry people. I read some things that I thought were very good. I thought I'd share them with you. If you give me just a minute of your time. Somebody, and I don't know who wrote it, it said, "The moment a child is born, a mother is also born. She never existed before. The woman existed, but the mother, never. A mother is something absolutely new." Yeah, that's true. You ladies have been ladies your whole life. You've always been a woman. But being a mother is a brand spanking new thing. Two things are born when that first baby comes into the world. A new baby and a new mother. And it looks like to me that they have to learn together. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it's probably going to be as hard on the one as it is on the other. The gentleman wrote, he said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They clung to me all of my life." That was Abraham Lincoln said that. Had a very deep veneration for his mother. This is a sad thought, but it's a profound thought. The death of a mother is the first sorrow that we weep over without her. See, every other trouble you ever had in your life, mama was there. Sooner or later, we have to face our troubles and our sorrows without them. Emerson said, "Men are what their mothers made them." Now, there's a profound amount of truth in that.
Amen.
That's the truth. I love this. This is my favorite of all the sayings I looked at. "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. President George Washington loved his mama. Some of them are right cute. Somebody wrote this, said, when a mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's merely a formality, because you're going to get it anyway. Billy Graham wrote this. I thought it was pretty profound for Brother Billy. Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. And I believe that. I believe that. This is... I don't know where some of these people get these thoughts. I wish I had wrote some of this stuff. I told my wife this morning, all the good stuff's already been said. Making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. Is that not good? It's not easy being a mother. If it were, fathers would do it. A lot of truth in that one, too. Somebody wrote this and said, if evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? I thought that was great. Somebody wrote this and said, the hand that rocks the cradle is usually attached to someone not getting enough sleep. That's hilarious. We could go on and on and on about mothers. Let me give you a little message this morning entitled The Good Mom. There are a sufficient number of bad moms. Everybody knows that. Not every mom lives up to her calling. And, you know, we're all aware of that. And their failures are all over the country. We read about them in the newspapers all the time. We're not celebrating bad mothers. I want to celebrate the good mothers. And I thought, Lord, how do we know the good moms? Is there a litmus test? Is there something you can look for? Is there a way to separate the good moms from all the rest? I have seven things here that I think indicate a good mom. If you have a mom that has these characteristics, that did these things, I would feel very confident in saying you have a good mom. And if you have a good mom, you better thank Almighty God. Amen. Now, let me give you these seven things very briefly, so I know everybody wants to go have Mother's Day dinner. Let me start with this one. I had a hard time knowing exactly what order to put these in, so I just went with my gut. Number one, you know you have a good mom if you have a mom with more compassion than dad. Have you ever noticed that dads and moms go at things a little differently? You get your feelings hurt, or you get disappointed, or you fall down and skin your shin, or whatever it is. You know why kids don't go running to dad? Because dad will listen to them, or get halfway through it. Oh, come on, you make a mountain, just come on, get over it. Or you fall down, daddy's not going to kiss it and make it get well. Knock off the crying. What are you, a wimp? Dads are not noted for their compassion. We will defend you unto the death. We will work ourselves into the grave to provide for you, but don't look for an overabundance of compassion. If you're looking for that, you really do need to go look up mom. Mom will hold you and let you sob. Mom will let you tell your story and be interested. And if it hurts you, it'll hurt her. Okay? Moms and dads are different. Now, all this stuff about make everybody, male and female, mom and dad, everybody equal, it's just nonsense. We're not wired the same. Moms, Mom is the care center. Mom is where you go to get understanding. Mom is where you go to get compassion. Mom is where you go to get have somebody make you feel good and to pump you up and to encourage you and get you to start all over again. Dad's not always the best place to go for that. Amen? Number two, you probably know that you have a good mom if you have a mom who makes you do what you need to do, not what you want to do. Now, you won't appreciate that while mom's doing that. See? That's one of those things mom do that's not appreciated until the middle, late 20s, early 30s. When the youngins start having their own family and their own children and see all the things mama run into and why she did some of the stuff she did. And if she'd let you do what you wanted to do instead of what you needed to do, you wouldn't be prepared to do what you're doing now. Somebody say amen. It would be much easier for mamas to just let you do your own thing and go your own way, and it's almost always easier for whatever it is mom wants you to do, she could probably have done it a lot quicker and a lot better. Amen. But she's going to make you do it because she's training you and equipping you for the responsibilities and the duties of life down the road. If you got a mom that is tough enough to stand up and make you do what you need to do rather than what you want to do, you probably got a good mama. Number three. You probably have a good mom if you have a mom that teaches you how to do a thing, not just tells you to do the thing. You understand the difference between the two? Anybody can say, do so and so. Requires no talent, requires no skill, requires no knowledge, requires no patience, requires no fortitude. Just utter the sentence, do so and so. But I've never done it before. I don't know how it's done. You'll figure it out. Yeah, and then when they do it wrong, you're going to come fuss at them and chew them out because if you got a mama that has the wisdom, she says, you got to do so and so. Now let me show you how that's done. And she demonstrates it and walks you through it and repeats it and gives that same lesson until you get it. She never just arbitrarily says, do a thing. She is willing to take the time and trouble to teach you the proper way to do it, to show you the shortcut, to show you how it's done the easiest and the quickest, to show you how it's done the way she wants it done. Now listen, that takes a lot more of her time, a lot more effort on her part. It'd be a whole lot easier just to tell you what to do and then fuss at you when you don't do it properly and let you fumble through it until you learn how to do it or until you get so aggravated you refuse to do it. Thank God for a mom that will take the time to teach. I'll be honest with you. I think one of the great shortcomings of parents, moms and dads, is teaching. We are more prone to, and we are much better at, telling than teaching. Well, didn't you teach him how to? I told him to do it. That is not sufficient. We are to train up a child, not tell up a child. And training is hard work. It takes time. It takes repetition. It takes determination. If you've got a mom that knows how to teach, when she tells you to do a thing, you probably have a pretty good mom. I forget where I was at. How about this? You may have a good mom if you have a mom that knows when to stop teaching and knows how to play a little. You know, sometimes with the best intentions in the world, the best intentions, mamas have a hard time knowing when to quit being a mama in the sense of instruction and management and those kind of things, and play. I've heard my wife in years gone by say, all you ever want to do with the kids is play. I have to do all the dirty work. I have to do all, you know, I'm the one that's always saying no. I'm always the bad guy. Mom, sometimes you have to turn off the mama mode and learn to play with them a little bit, to talk to them, to experience things with them. I remember when Samantha and the kids lived in that ratty little trailer right above us. Samantha had the three kids and husband was gone and she wasn't making much money. And the kids would come down one day and they're covered from head to foot in flour and gooey stuff. You couldn't touch them. They were contaminated. And so I asked Samantha, I said, what in the world's going on up there? She was teaching them to make cookies. They spent the whole afternoon making sugar cookies. And they had turned it into an adventure. It really looked like Chernobyl inside the house. But you know, it all cleaned up. A little dusting, a little sweeping, a little wiping down with a damp cloth. 30 minutes and it was all straightened up and you never knew the bomb went off. Amen. Those kids remember those kind of experiences to this very day. I certainly would be the last one to minimize teaching and training and all those necessary things and finding those teachable moments and doing all we can to instruct them. But, gosh, let's enjoy them every now and then. And let's let them know that it's not always all business. There is some joy. There is some pleasure in life. Now, you got to be careful because playing is fun, and some parents get to whether they would rather play with their kids and have fun with their kids than be their parent, see? So there's always that fine line to walk. But if you've got a mom that can relax every now and then and indulge you and have fun with you and get the flour on her face and the mud on her feet, you probably got a pretty good mom. You probably got a pretty good mom if you have a mom that loves dad and knows how to display proper trust, fidelity, and affection. Now, there's an improper thing, but that a mom that can show to her children, manifest to her children, not so much by deliberate, overt acts, but by a manner of life, a consistency, day in and day out, that she loves that man and that she has a respect for him and that she is faithful to him and that she supports him. You have done your children a great service. If they see that marriage is not only a mutual thing, but it's a comfortable thing, a joyous thing, that mom and dad love each other and that there's a real commitment, but there's also a real love and a real affection in that marriage. With all of its problems and all the things that go on in life, if mom can manifest that to those kids so that the kids see that that marriage is stable and strong and this is the way it ought to be so that they grow up with that concept in their head, you had a great mom. Because sometimes dads are not easy to live with. That's not often. It's not often. But from time to time, we have our moments. You probably have a good mom if you have a mom that knows and is comfortable with her station in life. That's comfortable being a mom. That doesn't feel like life dealt her a bad hand. because she's a mommy. She doesn't feel deprived because she doesn't have a career. Or isn't bitter because she has to work and raise you. If you got a mom that knows who she is and what she is and is content and restful in that place, and there's no animosity, and there's no bitterness, there's no manifestation of, I wish I were something else or somewhere else. If your mom can convey to you as a child and through your childhood that she's glad she's there with you, and that she's glad she had you, and you are an absolute essential part of her life, and she's thrilled about that, you got a good mom. It'd be a wonderful thing to have moms that could demonstrate to our children that they're not bitter because they have to cook meals and clean bathtubs and chase little snotty-nosed youngins. That she thinks that that's important and good and beneficial. If she could convey to you that she thinks she's important and necessary, and that she's proud to be what she is and who she is, and there's no rancor about it, and there's no disdain about it, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If you got the sense that your mama was as happy as a bug in a rug with her little house and her husband and her little tots, and that's her whole world, and she likes it, she's comfortable in it, I think that would be a great mom. And you probably have a good mom if you have a mom that loves God and helps you learn to love God. Her God and her church, her Christianity, are not just something we put on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday. It is a robe that she wears everywhere she goes, all of the time. And the principles that control her life, the things that she believes, don't falter. They don't change. She doesn't take them off when she's with this group. She doesn't put them back on for church and take them back off when she goes here. She is a godly woman and a godly mama. She is an example of what a Christian mother should be all of the time and everywhere. And she has a faithfulness and a consistency that you can't shake and that nobody else can shake. No double standard in her life. There's no two lifestyles. She is a Christian. She's a Christian who happens to be a mom. She is a Christian who happens to be a mother. But she's a Christian. And she believes certain things about God and about life and about life after life. She won't be swayed. She won't be talked out of it. And she's committed because she believes it to be so. She thinks it's imperative that you believe that it's so. Of all the things that your mother can do for you in all of your lifetime, if she can deliver to you the faith that she has in God Almighty, so that you not only see it, but you embrace it and you love it as she loves it, her convictions become your convictions, her God becomes your God, there is no doubt you have a good mother. Now see, I love my mom. I still love my mom. And she was an excellent mom in some ways. But there were some of these areas that she fell very far short in. Of course, most of you understand that 30, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have all the talk about family. We didn't have all the books. We didn't have all the instruction. It really was, in a lot of ways, a much different world then than it is now. Father's role was different, and he was looked at differently in his position. Things have changed a lot. And today, we have all sorts of helps and advice and all kinds of things on how to be a good mother and to be a good parent and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But you know what's missing from almost all of that instruction? Religious instruction. Religious instruction. Teaching our children to love our God like we love our God. Now, we're great at a lot of things. Some folks get all wrapped up in sports and this, that, and the other, and they will spend countless hours and only God knows how much money and go to more trouble than you can possibly imagine to ensure that they know the game, that they're dressed for the game, they play on the best teams, that they get treated fairly. I mean, we can get into that right up to our eyeballs. I wonder what America would be like if moms and dads put that same energy, that same devotion, that same commitment, and that same amount of finance into religious training and raising our children to love and fear God. It would be a different country. Amen? Now, I'm a big supporter of dads. Having been one, I'm in favor of man being the head of the house. That's a biblical principle, and I think it's right. Amen. And I think Dad ought to lay down some laws to Mama. Here are the parameters. This is how far we can go in this direction. This is how far we can go in that direction. We're not going with the rest of the world. We're not, you know. And every family's going to be a little different. I can't get you to make your family like my family. For one thing, they just ain't the same people. Amen. But Dad lays down some basic guidelines, very broad, because Mama needs a lot of discretion, because all kind of things are going to happen that you never planned on, that you never expected, you never looked for. They just show up out of the blue, and you're going, whoa, where'd that come from? But you know who does 90% of the training? Mama. You know who's going to make the biggest impact for the most part on children's lives? It's going to be Mama. Now, there are those certain situational things where the boy or the girl comes to Dad for some particular kind of counseling. And, boy, we love that, don't we? I always loved it when my girls come and say, Pop, I need to talk to you. Oh, man. Don't get much better than that. Somebody say amen. But the day in, the day out, the ordinary things, that the things that make them a good citizen, that make them pleasant to be around, that teach them all the social skills, that teach them the courtesies and the politeness and all those kind of things, they don't get that from Daddy. They don't get it. They get it from Mama. I'll be honest with you. A lot of their character development, a lot of their respect for authority, a lot of their respect for manhood and motherhood, and all, they get from Mama, because she spends about 10 times as much time training, not only by word but by example, day in and day out, than Daddies ever do. And a mom that takes that role of motherhood, teacher, counselor, and friend, spiritual advisor, and those are her objectives in her life. If you got a mama like that, man, you got a good mom. A good mom. You say, well, my mom was like this and like that. Well, you better find the good parts better and hang on to them. I don't know anybody that bats 1,000, and I can guarantee you, you won't either. But if she gave it her best shot, you thank God for her. She could have been one that left you on a curb. She could have been one that took you down to a clinic and eliminated you. Amen? But she didn't. She chose rather to work and labor and toil and do without. Do you know how many new dresses your mama could have if she wasn't buying new dresses for you? Do you know how many times she could eat out if she wasn't giving you spending money so you could go and do? Do you understand why she has to deprive herself? And she does it willingly. She does it voluntarily. And she does it without rancor. She does it without bitterness. Matter of fact, she does it with joy. You ever see a mama buy a new gown for a prom for her little girl? It's going to take $100 out of the budget. There'll be a lot of stuff she ain't going to get. But here's that pretty little girl. And they put her in that pretty little thing. And they look at her and they make all them pictures. And that mama's just strutting. It's got to be the prettiest thing she ever saw in her life. Amen. That little boy standing there and he's got on that first tuck. He's got his first little sweetheart and they're going to touch a class. Mama's not thinking about the money she didn't get or the clothes she couldn't buy or the new shoes she wanted. She's thinking about how beautiful you are, how handsome you are, how good you'll look. When you walk in, everybody will stand up and take notice. I heard Deborah Talley tell a little story one time. We were at a gospel concert up in Virginia Beach. And she, for some reason, I forget what the context was, she was talking about her mother and how she loved her mom. Maybe they were singing a mama song or something. I don't know. But she got all choked up because she got to remembering, and she told this little story, and it was off the cuff. It wasn't part of their routine. And she said, you know, I remember being a little girl, and I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. And they didn't have a lot of money. The family was very modest income. But Mama had fixed a chocolate pie for dessert for dinner, which was a big treat in and of itself. But it was really a big treat because it was chocolate pie. And Deborah said, I loved chocolate. And she said, they sat down to eat dinner and said, man, she swallowed hers whole. She didn't ask for any seconds or anything. And she got through and she pushed her plate back and her mom said, Deborah, are you ready for dessert? And she said, yes, ma'am. And so her mother got up and brought her plate and put her piece of chocolate pie in front of her, which she immediately just wolfed down. You ever see a dog, you know, you throw something to them and they swallow it and never taste it? Plus going into a pit. She said, and then she had to sit there and everybody else finished their dinner. And then it was time for everybody else to get dessert. Of course, she wished she still had hers. And she'd give anything for another piece. But there were five of them, and there were only five pieces of pie. And she brought her daddy his and her brothers theirs. And then Mom put hers on her plate and walked to the table. And she set it down in front of Deborah. And she said, you know, I ate some of this afternoon. I just don't think I want any pie. That's a mama. Okay. That's something you can't buy. It's indescribable. Where does that come from? That comes from a love for that young'un. That's your mama loving you. That was my mama loving me. That wasn't somebody talking love. That was somebody showing love. And I don't think there's anybody on the planet any better than that, at that, than Mama. Who can show you what love really is better than Mama? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We certainly thank you for our moms. Everyone different. Everyone absolutely unique. Every last one vital. We thank you for the one that you gave us. I pray you would help us and the ladies here to labor and endeavor to be as good or better than the one we had. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.